Welcome back to Central Christian Church. We're so glad that you're able to join us via Facebook. We have a lot going on. Unfortunately, we can't all get together to celebrate, but today begins Christian Family Week. So I'd like to encourage you to come up with things that you can do at home to celebrate Christian Family Week, whether it be Bible reading, Bible study, whatever it may be. I encourage you to do that. It not only will feed you spiritually, but it will help you through this rough time. Also, next Sunday is Mother's Day, and certainly we would like for you to celebrate that. Not sure how that's going to happen at this point. As you know, the governor of Texas is reopening everything as of yesterday, but with a lot of protocols that need to be followed. That being said, we are planning on reopening the sanctuary for worship on May 31st. And it's been longly debated. We talked about June and other dates, but May 31st, the fifth Sunday of this month, the sanctuary will be open for worship. Now, if you are uncomfortable with that and you don't wish to be here, we're going to continue to record the service and put it on Facebook. So if you're uncomfortable, I don't want you to rush until you're ready, but it is the 31st is after phase two of the reopening that the governor has set out. So we're feeling comfortable that we can do that. And of course, we will observe the protocols. There will be masks, there will be hand sanitizer, and there will be disinfectant. If for any reason we cannot get these things, because there's a couple of them we're still lacking, then we may have to push it back. But at this point, it looks promising. I hope that you plan on being here the fifth Sunday, May 31st, to celebrate with us and coming back to church and worshiping God together physically and spiritually. Thank you, and we will continue with our service. And now for our call to worship. All praise to you, Eternal Spirit, source of life and Savior of the world. With faithful people of every generation, we praise you. Through Jesus Christ, with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that thou art. Thou my best thought, by day or by night. Waking or sleeping, thy presence my light. Be thou my wisdom, and thou my true word. I ever with thee, and thou with me, Lord. Thou my Redeemer, my love thou hast won. Thou in me dwelling, and I with thee. Son, heart of my own heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, O ruler of all.
Let us pray. Spirit God, in the beginning you gave life and movement, color and harmony to the universe. Everything moves by your power and is one through you. But most of all, you move in the minds and spirits of men and women. You give vision and insight, speaking spirit to spirit. You stir the sleeping conscience, rouse the dormant mind. To seek justice, express beauty, declare truth. Most of all, you come in the power of Jesus, bringing love and joy and peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. So move us now in mind and conscience, stir and quicken us with beauty and truth, and give us all your harvest, now and always. And now, O Lord, hear us as we pray that prayer Jesus taught his disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious and loving God, we come to you this morning in the name of your Son. We come not as strangers or foreigners, but as your children. We thank you today for your faithfulness and your mercy and your grace. You're always there when we need you. You've never turned us away and you've never failed us. You've never failed to fulfill your promises to us and to your world. In our troubles and trials, and when the road seemed long, you've been right there with us, and you've helped us through, and we give you thanks and praise today. Thank you, Lord, for all you've done for us. Lord, we earnestly want to do your will and fulfill your plans and purposes for us. We're available because we've surrendered our lives to you, and you can do with us whatever you choose. We're all busy with the business of living in the here and now. We have jobs, we have families, we have responsibilities, we get involved in all kinds of things, some of vital importance, and some of them are only trivial. So help us, Lord, to put first things first. Help us to keep our priorities straight. Help us to seek first your kingdom and righteousness and let the other things fall into their rightful places. Help us to make the right choices that will count for eternity. We pray for the needs of our people today. We've all come with individual and very personal needs. Maybe nobody on earth knows about the struggles and burdens we're facing, but you know, and you invite us to bring everything to you in prayer. So we reach out to you, and we know you're already reaching out to us. We ask you to meet our needs this morning and give us the assurance you're answering our prayers. We pray for many different kinds of physical needs, financial needs. There are those with emotional needs. Some need healing of relationships. Whatever they are, Lord, we bring them to you because you can help. We bring our need to you to work and deal with this COVID-19 virus, that you keep us safe, that you be with those who have contracted it. And we give you thanks and praise for those who have survived it. We pray for our community and those all around us. We pray for our government officials. We pray for divine wisdom and the ability to lead justly and wisely. May we all have open and obedient hearts, Lord. May we all turn to you, knowing that you are there for us. For we ask all these things in your Son's name. Amen.
Thank you.
As you heard in our communion hymn, Nearer My God to Thee, this is what communion does. It brings us nearer to God. We communicate with the Son of God, who taught us to have this meal, who said to us to remember Him each and every time we take it. So at this time, that's what we're going to do, is remember the Lord Jesus. We're going to remember that it brings us nearer to God, and let us also remember that God hears all that we do and say. On the night that He was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, He broke it and gave it to His disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is My body broken for you." Likewise, He took the cup, and after blessing it, He said, "Drink ye all of this, for this is My blood of the new covenant, shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin." Let us be nearer to God. Our scripture reading this morning comes from 1 Peter, the second chapter, verses 19 through 25. For it is a credit to you if, being aware of God, you endure pain while suffering unjustly. If you endure when you are beaten for doing wrong, what credit is that? But if you endure when you do right and suffer for it, you have God's approval. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When he was abused, he did not return abuse. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but he entrusted himself to the one who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so free from sins, we might live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. For you were going astray like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. You know, in our world today, or any time throughout history for that matter, how does one know if one has God's approval? You ever wondered that? Do we know as a church if we have God's approval for the things we do and have done? Or do we assume we do? 1 Peter tells us if we endure when we do right and suffer for it, we have God's approval. So the question remains, how do we know if we have God's approval, and how do we know when we do right, for that matter? And when we do something questionable, how do we satisfy and justify that with God? Or can we? It's always that big question of how do you know if you're doing the right thing? And when you do something, how do you know you have God's approval? If we go by this scripture from 1 Peter, it seems the only way we can know if we're doing the right thing is if we are following the example of Jesus the Christ. For some, this may be quite a shock. I mean, there are those who want to follow the teachings of the Old Testament, right? An eye for an eye, shame, scorn, injure and kill your enemies. I cannot count the times I have heard people invoke the Old Testament when they want to get back at someone or just be mean. But the author of 1 Peter is silent on the use and teachings of the Old Testament, as though non-existent. Contrary to the Old Testament, listen to this verse from our scripture. When he was abused, he did not return abuse. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but he entrusted himself to the one who judges justly. When we are wronged in some way, our natural inclination is to fight back, to get even. Needless to say, this reaction, though thoroughly human, is almost always in error. It has been said, forgiveness is better than revenge, for forgiveness is the sign of a gentle nature, but revenge is the sign of a savage nature. And I feel certain Jesus would agree. An example of this is the experience of a Hungarian refugee named Joseph Kudar. Kudar was a successful young lawyer in Hungary before the uprisings in that country in 1956. A strong believer in freedom for his country, he fought Soviet tanks in the streets of Budapest with his friends. When the uprising fell, he was forced to flee the country. When Kudar arrived in the U.S., he had no money, no job, and no friends. He was, however, well-educated. He spoke and wrote several languages, including English. For several months, he tried to get a job in a law office, but because of his lack of familiarity with American law, he received only polite refusals. Finally, it occurred to him that with his knowledge of languages, he might be able to get a job with an import-export company. He selected one such company and wrote a letter to the owner. 2 weeks later, he received an answer, but was hardly prepared for the vindictiveness of the man's reply. Among other things, it said that even if they did need someone, they wouldn't hire him because he couldn't even write good English. Crushed, Kudar's hurt quickly turned to anger. What right did this rude, arrogant man have to tell him he couldn't write the language? The man was obviously crude and uneducated. His letter was chock full of grammatical errors, the writer said to Kudar. Kudar sat down and in the white heat of anger wrote a scathing reply, calculated to rip the man to shreds. When he had finished, however, as he was reading it over, his anger began to drain away. Then he remembered Jesus' teachings and the biblical admonition, a soft answer turns away wrath. No, he wouldn't mail the letter. Maybe the man was right. English was not his native tongue. Maybe he did need further study in it. Possibly this man had done him a favor by making him realize he did need to work harder on perfecting his English. Kudar tore up the letter and wrote another. This time he apologized for the previous letter, explained his situation, and thanked the man for pointing out his need for further study. 2 days later, he received a phone call inviting him to New York for an interview. A week later, he went to work for them as a correspondent. Later, Joseph Kudar became vice president and executive officer of the company destined to succeed the man he had hated and sought revenge against for a fleeting moment, and then resisted. It is true for most of us. When we are wronged in some way, our natural inclination is to strike back. Not just individually, but as a community and as a nation. But this is not what Jesus taught. This is what 1 Peter is telling us. This is not what Jesus taught. And it certainly is not the example that he set. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin and no deceit was found in his mouth. It has been said many times from this pulpit, and it will be said again and again, it is hard to be a follower of Christ. His teachings go against our natural inclinations, but his teachings can and will make us better people. You know, and I know this is true. The question is, are we willing to be true followers of Jesus? Do we really care about having God's approval? The questions in the beginning of this message were, how do we know when we have God's approval, and how do we know when we do right? I believe the answer to these two questions lies within this statement. When we do what Jesus taught us to do, we can be certifiably certain we have God's approval. When we do what Jesus taught, when we don't do what Jesus taught us to do, we need to check in with God. I'm going to tell you a story about a company CEO. He found it necessary to travel out of the country and spend an extended period of time abroad. So he said to his second in charge and his other trusted employees, "Look, I'm going to leave, and while I'm gone, I want you to pay close attention to the business. You manage things while I'm away. I will write you regularly. When I do, I will instruct you in what you should do from now until I return from this trip." And he looked at everyone in the boardroom and said, "Do you agree?" And they all agreed. He left and stayed gone for a couple of years. During that time, he wrote often communicating his desires and concerns. Finally, he returns. He walked up to the front door of the company and immediately discovered everything was in a mess. Weeds growing in the flower beds, windows broken across the front of the building. The receptionist at the front desk was snoozing. Loud music was roaring from several offices, and two or three people were engaged in horseplay in the back room. Instead of making a profit, the business had suffered a great loss. Without hesitation, he called everyone together in the boardroom and with a frown asked, "What happened? Didn't you get my letters?" His second in charge said, "Oh yeah, sure. We got all your letters. We've even bound them in a book. And some of us have memorized them. In fact, we had letter study every day. You know, those were really great letters." The CEO then asked, "But what did you do about my instructions?" And the employees responded, "Do? Well, nothing. But we read every one of your letters." You know, I believe all too often we followers of Jesus are exactly the same way. I know through my 40 years in ministry, many have said, "I can quote the 23rd Psalm." Or, "I know all the books of the Bible." And here's the deal. We may be able to quote chapter and verse in the Bible. We may have our favorite passages or memorize the Beatitudes and all the teachings of Jesus. But if we are not living them, if we are not living them, or at least attempting to live the teachings of Jesus every day, then such knowledge is for naught. We have everything Jesus said and did in a book. Some of us have read it. Some of us have memorized passages. But many of us are not following the teachings of Jesus. I mean, I think we all know none of us are perfect and are unlikely to be so. But are we striving toward perfection? Are we at least putting out the effort to correct our imperfections to become more like Jesus? Now, for what may be a bit confusing, but true nonetheless, listen carefully. When Jesus died on the cross for our sins, we were at that moment stamped, approved by God. But let us not confuse being approved as a child of God with our behavior being approved by God. That's a big difference. Remember, God approved King David, gave his blessing, and in fact, personally chose David to be king. But did he approve of David's behavior when David had Uriah the Hittite killed so he could have Bathsheba? No, not at all. David was approved as God's child. But the behavior is a whole different program. And God didn't approve of the behavior. When Christ died on the cross, that was God saying, "You are my children. Approved." Put a big stamp right there on us. You're approved. But he doesn't approve of our behavior all the time. And many of us don't even stop to think about God's approval. We are approved children of God. Of that there is no doubt. Our behavior, however, is still under scrutiny. when we make mistakes, when we get vengeance, when we go after people and we give them a hard time because they gave us a hard time, whatever it may be, we are not living up to the example that Jesus set. He set an example of love, mercy, and forgiveness. That's what we need to live. That is God's mission for us, is to bring people together, regardless of race, creed, color, whatever, to work toward being a better people. Are we better people? 1 Peter tells us, live the word. Live the word. Then you'll know that you have God's approval and you're doing the right thing. Let us pray. Our gracious and loving God, as we come before you, we know that all too often we fall short of what your Son taught us, and we ask your forgiveness. We ask that you fill us with your Spirit, that you help us to do better, that you put us on a path to correct our imperfections, to work on our imperfections, to strive toward perfection. Lord, we know we will probably never reach perfection on this earth, but we can sure try. And we're asking for your help to do so. Be with us and guide us, for we ask this in your Son's name. Amen. Thank you again for joining us via Facebook for this service. Remember, we do intend to open the 31st, and I'm looking forward to seeing you here if that is your choice. Certainly hope that you're able to come. And I want you to have a blessed week, and remember that God loves you and God has approved you as His child. Let us receive the benediction. And now may the God of peace, the God of love and the God of joy be with you now and forevermore. Amen.
We are walking in the light of God. We are walking in the light of God. are walking in the light of God. We are walking in the light of God. We are walking, we are walking, we are walking in the light of God. We are walking, we are walking, we are walking.